serious about our transportation problems in the long run, we are going to have to change those laws that restrict local communities from managing growth properly.
Do you think that one of the reasons why we have such a bad transportation problem in Northern Virginia and the whole Washington metropolitan area, in fact, some studies I've read show it's the third worst in the country, is that because of this unbridled growth in places like Loudoun County, Fairfax?
Well, I think that's a lot of it. I think many of us are beginning to understand that one reason why our traffic problems are as bad as they are, it's because of poor planning decisions made in the past. So I think the situation we find ourselves in now is that we need to look at it with two elements. The first one is a fiscal element, because there are certainly improvements that need to be made, and for, I think, in our district, we're looking at the Route 7 corridor, looking at the Route 50 corridor in South Riding and in Fairfax, the Leesburg Bypass, and I've been a strong advocate for rail to Dulles and into Loudoun County. So there are some fiscal challenges there, but we also have a planning element to that, to make sure that in the long run we don't keep making the same bad decisions and bad planning decisions that create these traffic problems.
I'm glad to hear you're a fan of rail into Dulles. I've always wanted to be able to go there, not have to leave my car, pay those outrageous parking charges, and actually get to the airport that way.
Well, Dulles Airport is one of the fastest growing airports in the world, and it serves arguably one of the most important cities in the world, and yet there's not rail already. It seems like we've been studying it for decades. It's time for action.
Let me tell you this. What is it about Tim Kaine and his transportation plan? He's actually done what people thought he wouldn't dare to do. He's actually said transportation, which a lot of people think is the worst issue, it's his first priority. Do you think that he will succeed in actually making there less traffic in Northern Virginia?
Yeah,
and how can you help him do that?
Well, I think I've heard both him and Governor Warner say that because Virginia has single-term governors, you can only serve for one term, that a governor sometimes may have a lot of different ideas about what they'd like to accomplish in office, but the issue that they really have to deal with is determined for them. And Governor Warner kind of had the fiscal crisis thrust on him, and that he ended up taking on and doing a great job. And I think the same thing has happened for Governor Kaine. Whether he would have thought about it a few years ago, saying transportation's the number one problem, for better or for worse, it's determined for him. And I think I'm really proud that he has decided that transportation is going to be a centerpiece of his administration, and I've got a lot of confidence in his abilities.
Now, let me ask you about Governor Warner, and specifically the thing that he's most praised and criticized for, which is raising some taxes in Virginia to pay for local needs. Now, it's interesting, he's one of the most popular governors in the country, and they say you can't raise taxes and do that. Tim Kaine wants to not raise income taxes, but to use sort of special levies and so forth for transportation needs. Do you support Governor Kaine's plan?
Well, what I really like about Governor Kaine's plan is, first, the commitment to actually do something. He's taken a special interest in the transportation problems that we have here in Northern Virginia, and he's committed to doing something about it, and I like that. The other thing I like about it is he's willing to look at things in a new way. He understands the connection between land use and transportation. And so he's looking at some new ways of doing things. Now, on the funding funding, I'd like to look at some other options first. One thing we need to do is change the transportation funding formulas. We send so much of our education dollars down to Richmond, and it seems like it goes in other places where the need really isn't as acute as it is up here in Northern Virginia. So we need to work together as a delegation to change those funding formulas and work with the governor to do that. We also need to lock up the transportation funds.
Just going to ask you about that. Governor Kaine thinks that money that goes to transportation should stay in transportation, but a lot of the people in the Republican-controlled Senate thinks it should go to other uses.
No,
what's your view?
No, if money is designated for transportation, it should not go to cover other budget shortfalls. And I think what's happened in the past is transportation gets pitted against education and other priorities. And education is very, very important, and I don't think we want to take money away from education and put it into transportation. We need to make sure that it's kept separate.
Let me ask you about education as apart from transportation. How can you make a difference in the Virginia State Senate for a local person's public schools?
Yeah. Well, first, I'd like to mention just how important education is to our family. I myself graduated from Loudoun County Public Schools. My wife and I have two children. Both of them are in Loudoun County Public Schools. My mother was a school teacher. My sister is a public school teacher currently. So education is a big part of our family's lives. When I went on the Board of Supervisors, I could see that the growth that we were having, the rapid growth, was really overwhelming our schools. And I worked to fund and construct 16 new schools in that four-year term. And I also worked hard to reprioritize the local budget to make sure that we could fund two years' worth of salary increases for teachers. It was very much needed, even though we had no help at all from the state. So that shows you the kind of commitment I have. And what we need to do is make sure that we keep and retain the very best teachers we can in each and every classroom. We need to work to keep class sizes smaller, and the way we can accomplish both of those is to work on the composite index that really hurts Fairfax and Loudoun counties. When I was on...
What's the composite index?
The composite index is kind of a very complicated formula, and a lot of different factors go into it, but it determines how much of the education money that the state has goes to your particular locality. When I was on the board a few years ago, the school budget, only about 20% of the funding for the school budget came from state funds, and that's even gotten worse. It was down to 16% recently. Well, that's really unfair, and I understand the importance of making sure that every child in Virginia has a great education and that we have a good uniform system of public education. But there also reaches a point where it's unfair for the local, some local areas like Fairfax and Loudoun County, where so much money goes down to Richmond and so little of it comes back. And I think we need to work together as a delegation to try and make that happen.
Toll-free number, 571-749-1166. What issues are important to you in this election? What important issues are there for you in the state of Virginia? What do you think that Mark Herring, should he be your next senator, should focus on? One of the things I want to focus on, and it's really, I do a lot of national issues right here on this show. It's actually all the news from Washington. The government does not want you to know. I admit I focus more on federal issues than Virginia issues.
Well, thanks for taking a little bit of time for a really crucial race.
Well, I think it's important, and I do think it's a crucial race of sort of where Virginia goes. Is it going to go, you know, a place where it's more concerned with its future or more concerned with sort of punishing people for what Dick Black and Mick Stanton consider sinful behavior, which I think really isn't the focus of what legislation should be about. But I want to ask you specifically in this, in Washington, the biggest issue right now is corruption. Jack Abramoff spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars on the Republican Party, on legislatures, and is, of course, has admitted that he was bribing them. And one of my concerns is that in Washington, at least, it's big enough that people follow the money. But I happen to know in local government, you got developers. They can give a lot of money to a lot of candidates, and they have clear financial interests. I mean, it's one thing for someone who's pro-life or pro-choice or pro-gun control or pro-guns to give money to support their point of view. I don't have as much of a problem with that. But if a guy who stands to make hundreds of millions of dollars gives a candidate for the Virginia Senate $1 million, and that guy turns around and gives them tons of money, I don't know what you call it. I call it bribery, and I have a real problem with that. I'd like to know specifically what's your view on developers that are giving money to House and Senate races and whether that would influence your vote or whether it should influence the vote of a person in the Virginia legislature.
Well, I think it's important that the voters be aware of what's going on. And my opponent, Mick Stanton, has taken tens of thousands of dollars from developers. In fact, it constitutes the single largest source of contributions for his campaign. He has just received another $5,500. This most recent contribution was from the Northern Virginia Building Industry Association.
Now, these are people who are building right there in Loudoun, Fairfax, in his district.
Now, the association is advocating on behalf of the building industry in Northern Virginia, but some of them, yes, are developers in the area. And at a time when Governor Kane has said, okay, growth management is going to be, he's going to put the growth management issue on the General Assembly's table, which he's done. I think the first governor in modern times to really take that on. So at a critical time where laws about whether localities will be allowed to charge reasonable impact fees, will be allowed to turn rezonings down if the infrastructure is not there to support it, those types of bills are on the table right now in the General Assembly. And I think the question for the voters is, do you want somebody like Mick Stanton, who's taken tens of thousands of dollars from developers, somebody who's got a record of really opening the door in Loudoun County to a lot of unbridled development, or do you want someone like me who's got a proven track record of standing up for the citizens' interests and the community's interests when it comes to development? I think so it's really more of a voter beware situation from my perspective.
Here's my view. I don't think developers are stupid. I don't think they throw money away. I think when they're buying something, whether it's a piece of lumber or a member of the Virginia State Senate, they know what they're buying. They're buying something they can keep. And I, for one, having learned a lot from Jack Abramoff, don't like the idea of this little quid pro quo where people give a politician money and they give back to the same people who gave them money. If you want to call in, join in the discussion, agree, disagree, ask tough questions, that's what this is all about. 571-749-1166, 571-749-1166. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Washington Post and who they recommended for this special election. We'll be right back after this.
Mrs. DeBruzzo, I'm Ed McMahon, and we're signing up people for...
Yes, I am.
Miss Murphy, Ed McMahon. We're starting up... No.
Dreams really do come true.
Dinero.
Ed McMahon.
Ed McMahon.
Yes, Ed McMahon. We're having our first ever...
Ed McMahon.
Yes. Tuesday night at the high school. We're starting up the Neighborhood Watch in this area, and here's all the information.
Stevie, get down here, please.
No, he's just here. It's just...
Five, six, seven, eight.
No tango, Danelle. Neighborhood Watch. We're having this Neighborhood Watch, the first one.
Right. Larry, put the pants on. I'll come back.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Start a Neighborhood Watch. It's just one of the many ways you can help make America stronger. To find out how, call or log on for this free guide.
When I was young, my dad always told me to dream big and dream often.
My mom and dad were always my biggest cheerleaders.
I've been very fortunate to have parents that care, but some kids aren't so lucky.
That's why the Major League Baseball players trust for children.
Same with Volunteers of America, to help kids everywhere.
For more than 100 years, Volunteers of America has helped children, families, and many others rebuild their lives.
Our Share With A Child partnership wants you to give kids your time, guidance, and support.
Work together to give every child a chance. Find out how you can help a child dream big.
Call 1-800-899-0089 or visit volunteersofamerica.org.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. There is a special election in Virginia tomorrow for portions of most of eastern Loudoun County and a portion of Fairfax County. In fact, let's show the district on the screen. If you're in Loudoun County, you're pretty much guaranteed to be in the district, but this also shows the Fairfax County area. It's, as I said, it's kind of east of Dulles Airport, south of the toll road, and north of Route 50. So if you're in that area, check. You may just have a very important election tomorrow. The Washington Post has weighed in on this election, and they have endorsed the guy sitting next to me, Mark Herring, for the position of the Virginia State Senate. Let me read a little bit of what they say. They call it a key vote in Loudoun. I'll just sort of show a little bit of the article. It's in today's Washington Post on their editorial page. And they write that voters in Loudoun County did themselves a huge favor when they elected David Poisson over Richard Black. They rejected Mr. Black's narrow views on social and economic issues and his broad embrace of those who would develop every last nook and cranny in the county. But this positive move could be negated if they vote for Mark Herring's opponent, who's Mick Stanton. The Republican candidate Mick Stanton, the Washington Post writes, is a leader of the hang the controls, bring on the builders majority in the Board of Supervisors. He's also the son-in-law and political protege of Mr. Black, his vastly superior opponent. Wow, that's pretty strong. Not superior, but vastly superior opponent is the guy sitting next to me, Democrat Mark Herring. What's interesting to me about this is that Loudoun County is, like so many counties across the nation, having this great fight between should they have some control over growth or should it be, you know, free market, developers can come at will, build whatever they want. This is a big issue in Loudoun County, and at the forefront is this debate and this election tomorrow. Mark Herring, welcome back to the Inside Scoop.
Thanks very much.
When you have growth, there is an argument to be made that, hey, just let the free market do their will. If a developer buys out, you know, hundreds of acres of farmland and builds high-rise condominiums, that's their right, that's capitalism. What's wrong with that view?
Well, the community has rights, too. And the question that I think is brought up in these debates is, you know, at what pace should development occur? who should bear the cost of it? Because there are tremendous impacts on schools and on roads, on parks and other services that the developments have, and no one's saying there shouldn't be development or it should be stopped. The question is, should it be better managed? And I think what, from my perspective and from what I hear throughout the district, the answer is yes, it needs to be. And I was reading in some other papers around the state yesterday and the day before, and this really is a very, very important election. Not only is it important for the citizens within the district, but everybody in the whole Commonwealth is watching this to see what's going to happen. And if I win, it will send a strong message that, yes, what happened in November was for real. These issues really resonate with voters. And the other politicians down in Richmond need to pay attention.
I'll tell you why I'm watching this race, and I admit I don't live in your district. I kind of wish I did, but I like my representative, actually. But I'm watching this race because it was a fairly close election we had in last November. Tim Kaine won, but it was 51-48. It was fairly close. In fact, the lieutenant governor and the attorney general's races were even tighter. And Virginia is a traditionally Republican state, traditionally conservative state. In fact, Virginia, for a long period of time, prohibited interracial marriages until 1967, when the Supreme Court stopped that. And it seems that Mick Stanton is very much believes in the same values as his father-in-law, Dick Black. He shares the same values. And so I went and I looked up Mick Stanton. I saw what he was about. And one of the things that he really cares about is shutting down high school plays. In fact, one of the only things, and he doesn't have that long a record, but you know, when you Google him and you find out where he's been in the press, he's been there. There was a play in Loudoun County written by a high school student where there were gay people depicted. And he wanted to, I guess, shut it down. I wasn't clear exactly how he wanted to stop this thing, but apparently it was tastefully done. There's two gay kids are about to kiss, and the lights go down. But they called it, and
there really wasn't actually a kiss, but it was kind of implied that the lights went down. And then later on,
the play is actually about intolerance. The kid's beaten up, and the focus of the play is you shouldn't beat up someone who's different. And yet, apparently, Mick Stanton could only focus on what he called a homoerotic sex act, which is very strange to call a implied kiss, and not focus on the fact that, heck, kids were getting beaten up and are being beaten up. Why do you think that Mick Stanton, Dick Black, their focus, Dick Black passed a law, one of the things he's most famous for is not about growth, but for passing a law to basically ban consensual relationships for gay couples. The idea is that if it's not just this constitutional amendment, as you know, it's not just about preventing marriage, but also to prevent any kind of contracts between gay people. Apparently, straight people have the right to enter into contracts, but gay people, if they want a health care power of attorney to take care of each other in hospitals, that's going to be banned. And to me, it reminded me of the Virginia of Loving v. Virginia, the idea that, you know, the legislature should determine what our values are. What are your views on these issues?
Well, let's go back to the play for a moment. And as a responsible legislator, I think it's critically important that someone actually get the facts straight first. But what happened in Mick Stanton's case is he didn't bother to do any investigation. He didn't bother to get the real facts. Instead, he sent in a letter to the editor talking about this kiss that actually never actually happened. So number one is, I think it reflects something about the man who would write a letter to the editor and before even getting the facts. Second, I think it's important that you take, for those of us who were there, not necessarily at the play, but the aftermath, I thought the student who wrote the play was very, very poised. And here she was writing a play about intolerance. And what happens? There are very intolerant people who come in and criticize her for it. And so she went to the school board meeting and gave a very eloquent talk about what she was doing was calling to people's attention what she had observed in her school, and here are politicians coming in and trying to score some political points, like it's some kind of political opportunity. By being intolerant.
And that's why I think people are watching this race. It's interesting. I was reading about Mick Stanton in the primary, and he was sending calls around to his supporters trying to get them to vote. And his calls mentioned abortion, and it mentioned guns, and it mentioned gay people, but it didn't mention issues of growth or transportation or development or education, any of those issues.
But in the last week, he's tried to totally remake himself, and now he's using some of the same ideas that I am, saying he's for managed growth and he'll work on transportation problems, when that's what I've been talking about all along. He was talking about the other issues, and I think now that he's been on the ropes and there were a few days from the election, all of a sudden he's changed tact and he's trying to talk about those issues. But I think it's very, very important that listeners know what I would do if I were elected. And what I'll do is work on those issues that I believe are priorities for the citizens of this district. Transportation, managing growth, education, those are the issues that I believe are important to the citizens in the district in Loudoun and Fairfax counties. Those are the issues that I'm going to work on. That's where I'm going to spend my time and energy if I'm elected.
If you just tuned in, you should know that I did invite Mick Stanton to the debate. In fact, we called and Dick Black answered the phone, his father-in-law. So he certainly knew about this. I gave him every opportunity to come here on the Inside Scoop to answer some tough questions, and he declined, and I think that's unfortunate, because whenever you are going to vote tomorrow, you have a right, I think, to hear live from both candidates. And in fact, there's been a big debate over debates in this campaign.
Sadly.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, knowing that there was going to be a very short time frame for the election, for the special election, the League of Women Voters, that has traditionally done debates and provided forums for candidates so that voters could be informed.
They did the presidential elections for decades.
They do them all over, and they do them in Loudoun County, and they do a great job. But they had prepared, they had picked a night well in advance, even before the Republican primary, had adopted a set of rules, invited all of the candidates, including all of the primary candidates, in case they should win, and everyone accepted, except for one, Mick Stanton, and he refused to accept, didn't respond, and then after he won the primary, then he gave excuse after excuse after excuse why he wouldn't do it. The first one I heard was he was too busy because he was on the board of supervisors and there just wasn't enough time. And then he said he'd...
For an hour debate or 2 hours.
For a couple of hours, one night. Then the next one was he had a scheduling conflict. And then the next one was, well, he didn't like the way the crowd wasn't controlled at the last debate. So I think there was like this ever-changing excuse for why he wouldn't debate. And then tried to set up a pseudo-debate at Falcon's Landing.
Tell me about that. Falcon's Landing is a retired military housing.
It's a retired military housing community. Nice place, wonderful place. But my feeling was it wasn't open to the public. And my feeling was if there's only going to be one debate, it needs to be open to the public. And
sounds Falcon's, like a Bush town hall meeting where he only brings his own supporters in.
Yeah, and so...
And Falcon wouldn't open it to the public?
No, they wouldn't. And it wasn't anything in particular about this particular debate. It was that they do not open their facility to public events and would not be able to do so for this. Even though Mick Stanton had sent out a press release saying it was open to the public, we confirmed with Falcon's Landing it was not. So there was no...
So
no
to sum it all up, Mick Stanton refused to meet you anywhere on a debate stage that was open to the public.
That's right. In fact, we even had another town hall meeting and invited him, and he still wouldn't come. And my feeling is Mick Stanton owed it to the voters. Both of us owe it to the voters to stand next to each other in front of the public to say how we would address the problems that are affecting our area.
Or to sit next to each other. Folks, you'll see there's an empty chair, which we have purposely here next to Mark Herring. If Mick Stanton should walk in this door, we will sit him down in the chair. We will welcome him to the debate. If he's watching this show, he should be able to answer tough questions. I've asked Mark Herring some tough questions. He should be able to answer those questions, too. And you folks can also ask Mark Herring some tough questions. You can't ask Mick Stanton because he's not here. But if you want to call in, ask a question, whether or not you support him as a candidate, you have a right to know what he would do if he becomes your next senator. So feel free to call in 571-749-1166, 571-749-1166. We'll be right back, hopefully with some of your calls, right after this.
This is Mommy's bed. Me and Jenny were jumping on it. Mommy's gun fell on the floor. I was a cowboy. Bang, 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 bang. I said, Jenny, wake up, wake up. It's just pretend. But she wouldn't wake up.
If you give me a fish...
If you give someone a fish...
You feed them for a day.
Teach
someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
Hey, Mr. Studied algebra in school and got a better job than I could. You take the last couple.
No, Mr. Stuck in an entry-level job because you only learned basic math. I don't have a boss riding my butt like you do, so you take it so you can get back to your desk.
You know, I probably should, but maybe Miss AP Calculus with the $200 haircut in the big office upstairs would like a cup.
Oh, no, Mr. What was your name again? Never mind, it doesn't matter. I'm too busy doing important things to care. I just came down for some sweetness, sir.
You know, if my limited math abilities weren't keeping me from getting a better job, I'd quit this afternoon.
I don't blame you. But thank goodness you're stuck here because we really need someone to make the coffee.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm here with Mark Herring, who will know tomorrow whether or not he is Virginia's new state senator, replacing William Mims, who is now Virginia's deputy attorney general. He is a candidate for state senate. I invited his opponent, Mick Stanton, to come here too. He refused to come. But that may be because Mark Herring is doing a lot better, at least in the press. Let's go to the website. We have in here a vote. This is the Washington Post website. Let's show that if we can. A key vote in Loudoun. You can read it for yourself online if you don't get the Washington Post. They call Mark Herring a vastly superior candidate to his opponent, Mick Stanton. But to me, what interests me about the race, and what I think makes it more of a statewide race or even a national race, is the focus. You have one candidate, Mark Herring, focused on issues like growth, transportation, education, and the other candidate, Mick Stanton, very much focused on what he calls traditional values, and very much to replace his father-in-law, Dick Black. You may know who Dick Black is. He, in fact, just lost a recent race as a delegate right here in Loudoun County, wasn't he?
Yes.
Pretty much the same district.
In the House 32nd District.
Right.
The House 32nd District is contained entirely within the Senate 33rd.
So all those people who voted for Poisson would clearly want you. Now, maybe the ones that voted for Dick Black would want his son-in-law. Tell me this, though. At least Dick Black had more experience than Mick Stanton. Is that fair to say? Well, what's Mick Stanton's experience?
He's beginning his first term on the Board of Supervisors, 2 years, so he's halfway through his term on the board, and that's it.
I do know that very much Dick Black believes that this is his revenge, that if his son-in-law beats you, then it'll be, in effect, Dick Black right back in there. And what interests me is that Dick Black wasn't focused so much on growth issues, education, but on really these social issues that he considers the most important to Virginians, wanting to punish women that have abortions. He's opposed to many forms of birth control, which he called baby pesticides, interesting term there, and supports a Virginia law that has actually been held unconstitutional, but that it would criminalize oral sex between married couples. If a husband and wife have oral sex, Dick Black believes that should be punished as a felony, which to me seems a little extreme. I don't know. What's your view on that?
Well, I'm suspicious of an intrusive government, and I think there's a certain area there that the government just shouldn't get into.
Fair enough. I think so, too. But I want to hear from you folks. By the way, even if you're not in the district, feel free to call in 571-749-1166. One of the things that I think is very interesting is you have Governor Kaine coming in. He's a Democratic governor. He's known as a moderate. In fact, he's delivering the response to George Bush's State of the Union speech tomorrow. And yet he's ruling over a Republican legislature. In fact, a legislature, interestingly enough, that apparently gerrymandered its districts, drew district lines to try to keep you out. Is that fair to say?
I think if you look at the map, it's pretty obvious. And the lines were redrawn a couple of years ago, 500 yards away from my house. So one precinct of the Leesburg district, which I represented on the Board of Supervisors at the time, was pulled out of the Senate 33rd and moved over into the Senate 27th district. And I had lived in the 33rd Senate District almost all of my life since I was 12 years old. But But what you mentioned is right. Governor Kaine is a moderate, and he's governing with a Republican-controlled legislature. But you know, the issues that we're dealing with, that I'm focused on, like we talked about, transportation, growth management, education, to me are really not Republican issues or Democrat issues. They're issues that affect us all. And that's why I think this race is so important, because and that the message is resonating all across the political spectrum, not just in Loudoun and Fairfax counties, but Prince William. I think it did as well in the suburban areas in Hampton Roads and the suburban areas of Richmond. These are issues that affect Republicans, Democrats, independents, and people seem to really want something to happen in these areas.
It's interesting. If we go to the website, actually, we can see, this is actually Mick Stanton's website, shows the district. And if you look here in this area around Leesburg, you can see the other district kind of comes way in, I guess grabs your house. And
the house I used to live in.
The house you used to live in, right. So that you moved
into the district. I moved down the street a little bit.
So you can be in the district. But it's interesting to me, one of my concerns, frankly, is gerrymandering. And it's not just in Virginia. It's across the nation. Instead of voters choosing candidates, it seems like candidates are choosing voters. So we don't have competitive elections. I'd like to know, if you're elected to the Virginia State Senate, will you support a proposal to let judges or some other nonpartisan body define districts instead of this partisan gerrymandering?
Yeah, I would, and I agree with your view on that. I don't think senators ought to be choosing their constituents. It should be, you know, the other way around. Now, one example of where I think we did a very good job on redistricting was in Loudoun County. A few years ago, the Board of Supervisors had to redo the districts because of the population changes. I worked together and created what was called the bipartisan plan. I sat down with some Republican leaders, and we tried to put something together that was based on trying to keep communities of interest together, trying to have some logical boundaries so that, you know, you have something in common with others in the district. And it was very controversial. I didn't make it the first time through, but then after some real difficult issues with board members, it actually came back around, and with only very minor changes, that was the plan that was adopted.
Let me ask you this. The Loudoun County Board of Supervisors, I don't know what's the partisan composition of the board. It's changed back and forth a few times.
Right. There are 6 Republicans, 2 independents, and 1 Democrat.
Okay. So when you were there, it was a majority Republican board?
No. At the time, it was kind of evenly divided between Democrats, Republicans, independents. I think we had four Democrats, two independents and two Republicans. So it was very, very evenly.
So you had to work with both Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah, absolutely.
And do you have a record? I mean, were there times when you would agree with Republicans, for example, and not the Democrats? Have you worked with both parties there?
Absolutely. And I was selected to be the board's land use committee chair, and we did that. Each year, those votes would come up again. And each year I was selected to be the chair. And I think the reason was because I was able to work effectively with all members of the board, regardless of party affiliation.
Folks, you can call in 571-749-1166. Here's your chance to ask a question of the guy who might be your next state senator. 571-749-1166. When we come back, I'm going to ask him a really tough question about the day laborer site in Herndon, very close to your district, Mark Herring, and find out what his view is on that. And I'm going to ask him an even tougher question about whether he himself has taken money from developers. 571-749-1166. We'll be right back after this.
Sweetheart, smoke outside now. You promised.
Okay, hon.
Sweetheart, smoke outside now. You promised.
What kind of man are you?
I'm a father.
Look here, my father was a father, and he smoked his brains out in the house.
Watch as he blows those smoke rings on my little red face.
You probably have asthma.
Asthma? Asthma. I'm telling you, nothing's going to happen to your kids.
Don't swear when you're lying. You know very well that thousands of kids get bronchitis, ear infections, and even pneumonia from their parents' cigarette smoke. And didn't you promise your little angels you'd smoke outside?
Hey, Daddy.
Those little devils are just so sweet.
Do the right thing.
Please, smoke outside.
Until you can stop, go out for your kids.
Take the pledge. Call 1-800-513-1157.
is a rite of passage. A challenge to join the elite. And if you succeed, if you can master your fear, outsmart your enemy, and never yield, even to yourself, you will be changed forever. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. My guest is Mark Herring, who may be elected Virginia State Senator tomorrow. Frankly, that's not up to him or me. It's up to you, you folks who live in his district, which is the eastern part of Loudoun County and the part of Fairfax, east of Dulles Airport, north of Route 50, and south of the Dulles Toll Road. If you live in that area and you didn't know, there's an election tomorrow. It's very important for you to get out and vote to determine really what you think the focus should be. Should it be, as the Washington Post put it, do you support hang the controls, bring on the builders? Is that your view, that people should be able to build unbridled growth, which Mark Herring's opponent, Mick Stanton, supports? Or do you believe in what Mark Herring calls smart growth, what the Washington Post called a moderate approach? He said he's not. The Washington Post, interesting, they said you're not a little to no growth advocate. They put you in the middle. Do you think that's a fair portrayal?
Yeah, I think it is. And that was the position that I had taken on the board, and I think my record proves that the moderate approach is the one that I had taken.
Now, before the break, I asked you about developers and my concern, which is that particularly in this post-Abramoff world we live in, a lot of people are giving to candidates expecting a quid pro quo. Again, I don't mind so much if people give to your candidacy because they support your views on XYZ, but if they're giving to your candidacy and they expect something back, I've got a real problem with it. And we talked about the fact that Mick Stanton's largest supporters is the developers, the same ones who can get money back from him if he votes their way in the Senate. So I got to ask you the same tough question. Have you taken money from developers who could get a quid pro quo back from you if you were elected to the Senate?
Well, I've never said that I would refuse to accept contributions from developers. I just haven't been getting them. I have had some very good friends and supporters who are real estate agents. They have contributed to my campaign, and I think they're very concerned about the quality of life that we all enjoy with our families. They know how important making sure that we have good roads and transportation and good schools are. So they have supported me. And, you know, there may be some very small ones, but if so, it's very, very small.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, real estate agents don't really get any money from the government. I don't know of any program, maybe you do, where a local or state government gives money to real estate agents. But developers are making deals with the government all the time, right? I mean, if you put a road here
especially,
or there.
Yeah, especially local governments, as well as state, depending on where the roads go and that sort of thing.
I mean, I would think on the Loudoun County Board of Supervisors, a developer who had the right candidate could make a ton of money. And that's not just Loudoun County, but for any local government.
If the elected official was biased in favor of the developer, then, yeah, obviously that's the case. But you would like to think that that's not going to happen?
Well, I hope not, but I really am concerned about someone who takes so much money from developers as Mick Stanton has. You said it's the main part of his campaign?
It's the largest source of contributions
from
any other industry, yeah.
571-749-1166. It doesn't just have to be me, folks. You can call in and ask the questions yourself. I do want to ask you about a very controversial issue that's really just outside the boundaries of your district. It may even be in the boundaries, I'm not sure. But in Herndon, which is right there at the edge of your district, there was a big controversy over a day laborer site. There were a lot of people that came in. Many of them, I'm sure, were undocumented immigrants. They wanted to get a job there. And there was a big controversy. Some people felt that should be shut down, that they shouldn't be allowed to congregate in a specific place to get jobs. What's your view?
Well, the town of Herndon faced a very difficult situation because a lot of day laborers were congregating at one particular location. It created a hardship on a business. It was creating public safety concerns because of traffic. There's public health issues involved. So there really was a very tough situation within the town of Herndon. My feeling is that the immigration issue and making immigration policy and enforcing immigration laws are federal mandates and responsibilities. And I think most of us would agree the federal government, Congress, really has not done a good job at immigration policy. It really needs to be changed. Unfortunately, because it hasn't been handled very well, it's created a lot of problems in some local localities, like the town of Herndon. In Herndon's situation, there were a group of citizens who came up with an idea of how to regulate it and improve it. They worked with the local government, with the town council. They came up with this day labor center, some of whom may be undocumented, but not all of whom are undocumented. And it, from what I'm hearing, it seems to be working.
At least it's a safe place where there's not a traffic mess and
right.
People
those problems seem to be taken care of now.
We have a caller from your district, Karen from Chantilly. Welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi. I know that your opponent has a gag platform, that is guns, abortion, and gays. For you as a serious legislator, what do you consider your job number one?
Well, great question, Karen. Thank you.
And it's interesting. It's coming from a citizen within the district. And my feeling is that my responsibility is to focus my time and my attention and my talents to the best of my ability to represent the citizens of the district, all of the citizens of the district, and spend that time and energy on those issues that are most important to the citizens in the district. So
not gays, abortion, and guns.
What I'm hearing all across the district, and we have had a sprint of a campaign, but we have gone out and we're knocking on doors. I was out all day today, knocking on doors, talking to voters. I've met with commuters and the commuter bus lines and everything else. I've talked to them about issues that really are of great concern to them. And it keeps coming back to transportation, growth management, and education. And really, the growth management and the transportation are very closely linked. And I think all of us would agree. Traffic is a problem. Everyone seems to understand that whether you're a commuter or whether you're just running an errand to the store or to the post office, you're sitting in traffic too long, and more time in traffic is less time away from, is less time at home with your family.
So you think solving the traffic problem is more important than preventing gay couples from visiting each other in hospitals, which Dick Black has supported?
That will be the focus of my efforts, will be on working with the leadership team we've just elected, working with Governor Kane, working with our local delegation to fix the traffic problems we have up here in Northern Virginia. We need to better manage growth. We need to maintain and improve our public schools. Those are going to be the issues that I work on.
We'll take another break. If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 571-749-1166. 571-749-1166. When we come back, I want to ask about the Dulles Toll Road, which goes through a significant part of the district. Some say that the toll should vary based on times and how much you should pay. It's very controversial. We'll find out what Mark Herring thinks about it right after this.
This is Mommy's bed. Me and Jenny were jumping on it. Mommy's gun fell on the floor. I was a cowboy. Bang, 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 bang. I said, Jenny, wake up, wake up. It's just pretend. But she wouldn't wake up.
Fish.
If you give someone a fish,
you feed them for a day.
Teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
Hey, mister, studied algebra in school and got a better job than I could. You take the last cup.
No, mister. Stuck in an entry-level job because you only learned basic math. I don't have a boss riding my butt like you do, so you take it so you can get back to your desk.
You know, I probably should, but maybe Miss AP Calculus with the $200 haircut in the big office upstairs would like a cup.
Oh, no, mister. What was your name again? Never mind, it doesn't matter. I'm too busy doing important things to care. I just came down for some sweetness, sir.
You know, if my limited math abilities weren't keeping me from getting a better job, I'd quit this afternoon.
I don't blame you. But thank goodness you're stuck here because we really need someone to make the coffee.
Start it up, baby. Come on.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Only have a few minutes left, but there's still time for you to call in if you want at 571-749-1166. 571-749-1166. And heck, if you'd prefer to write in your question instead of calling in, just go to my website at www.radioinsidescoop.com. We want to make sure your concerns are addressed. Prior to the break, I asked the delegate sitting next to me, no, not delegate, the former Board of Supervisors,
right.
The wannabe state senator from Virginia, Mark Herring, sitting to my right, about really, I think, a difficult question about how the Dulles Toll Road might change. He's talked about transportation. I should say again, for those of you who just tuned in, I'm asking Mark Herring tough questions, and it's a little unfair because Mick Stanton, his opponent, should also be answering tough questions. He chose not to show up. He was invited. We have an empty chair in his seat. So, Mick Stanton, what's your view? No answer. So, just so we understand, we can't give that kind of answer there. So, Mark Herring, what's your view?
Well, I think our area needs to look at a lot of different options in terms of how we solve our transportation problems. And I'm not going to come into the transportation debate and say, I'm going to look at one or two solutions, but I'm not going to look at any of the others. I myself am still keeping an open mind on whether, they call them Lexus lanes, whether if you're willing to pay a higher toll than everybody else, you get a faster ride in. I have some concern about that because I think if we have so many of these tolls, we're almost pricing people out of being able to get to work. And it's important to remember not everybody can afford to pay the higher tolls. In fact, when you add the Greenway and the Dulles Toll Road, for some people, they're paying another $1,500 a year to get to work. So, and that actually points to another issue, which is when you just completely abdicate, when the state completely abdicates its responsibility to help provide transportation for folks and just relies on tolls, for example, then you just, we've gotten away from the idea that there's some things that everyone benefits from, like education, and transportation's one of them.
Used to be roads were free. Mark, we have someone on the phone who may disagree with you. He says he's a Republican. It's David from Fairfax. David, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, this is David from Fairfax. I'd like to disagree a little bit. I believe it's not up to the government, be federal or local, to provide everybody a ride to get to work, I believe.
You don't think that the government should provide roads? That should all be individual private?
Well, yeah, there are roads, right. But I believe that bus systems and other transportation modes should be more privatized. You give a private company a chance to make some money for the deal, and they will expand the service, and they will meet the needs of the constituency.
Well, Mark Herring, that's David's view. Do you agree?
Well, if there are private options, I certainly think those should be explored, because especially if there is a way to shift the cost so that burden doesn't fall on the taxpayers. But we also have to remember that taxpayers are paying for a lot of the cost of roads, and so we need to look at transit and other forms of transportation.
I don't think that private people always do that. You know, there used to be a time in this country when every train was run by a separate private company, when every road was a private road, and you had to, do a toll from one place to another, a toll from another place. My view, I think, is that there's some things the government does do better than private citizens, and that roads is a clear example. I wouldn't want, every time I made a turn in my neighborhood, to, stick more money in the toll box. To me, if I'm being taxed to pay for roads, and they don't have potholes in them, and they let that, to me, that's a fair tax.
And maybe tolls have some role to play in trying to work our way out of the transportation issues we have. But I think we also need to recognize that it's a tremendous burden on a lot of people to have to pay that kind of toll every time they go to work.
Another question on transportation, since that's been a big focus of your campaign. People in Loudoun County that come off the Dulles Toll Road and go into Washington, D.C., go on one of the most crowded interstates in the country, 66, which is two lanes. Tim Kaine wants to open it up to three lanes, at least going away from the district. Do you support that?
Yeah, if that can be done in a feasible way without disrupting the area neighborhoods, I would be open to that and working to find ways to fund that.
Now, one of the things that we haven't talked much about is the third prong of Mick Stanton's campaign. We talked a little bit about gays and abortion. The third is guns. It's interesting, just recently, I think a Republican delegate actually shot a gun by mistake, although the fact that he hit his bulletproof vest makes me think it maybe wasn't by mistake. But whatever the case, shot off a gun. Do you believe that there should be restrictions on gun use, on gun controls, or what is your view on that?
Well, on the gun issue, I tend to believe that we do have Second Amendment rights, so I would not be spending a lot of time trying to find additional regulations for guns or gun owners. So I'm fairly supportive of the rights of gun owners.
Mark Herring, by the way, just so you know, I guess you're one of the elders of your Presbyterian church.
Yeah. Well, as I said, I grew up in Loudoun County. I lived in Leesburg for 32 years, and my wife and family have been going to Leesburg Presbyterian for many years, where I've served as a church elder.
And you were the United Way campaign chair. I'm just going through the resume here.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of things that I've been involved in the community. I've chaired the United Way campaign in Loudoun County for the last 2 years, and a number of other civic activities. One of my favorite ones was being a volunteer coach for my son's soccer team for a few years. And I'm not sure if that really counts as a civic activity.
But it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. But I tell you, I kind of got into it out of a sense of almost a responsibility that both of our children had been playing soccer for several seasons. And I thought, well, you know, it's kind of my turn. And I ended up just absolutely loving it. And here, you know, it's great.
You're a soccer dad.
Yes, a soccer dad. So it kind of forced me to get out of the office at about 4:30 and put on some soccer cleats and play soccer with a group of 9-year-old boys, and I just had a great time.
Let me ask you this. You've actually run very hard. You've been going, door to door? What'd you do all day today?
I've just knocked on doors all day.
And talked to voters.
Yeah.
And what are they telling you? Is it transportation, education? Those are the issues they care most about?
Yeah, that's what I keep hearing. That's what concerns them on a day-to-day basis.
And they're not talking about the Dick Black McStanton issues of punishing gay people or women that have abortions or things like that?
No. What I'm hearing is growth needs to be better managed. It's out of control. People are spending too much time on the roads, not enough time at home with their families. That's what they're really really telling me that they would like me to go down to Richmond and work on, which I'll do.
Which you will do. I want to remind listeners, there is an election tomorrow. If you live in Loudoun County or that area of Fairfax County, it's kind of north of Route 50, east of Dulles Airport, south of the toll road. If you're not sure, double-check, triple-check, because I've heard enough to endorse Mark Herring right here on my show. I think he'll be a terrific candidate. I did invite Mick Stanton. Dick Black's son-in-law, he wants to be the next Dick Black. I invited him to come here on this show, to sit in this seat, to answer my questions, and he refused. And as far as I'm concerned, we need politicians who are ready, willing, and able to face the public. One of my biggest criticisms of George Bush, in fact, is that in his town hall meetings, he only invites people who agree with him. Mark Herring, thank you very much for coming here on the Inside Scoop and weathering some tough questions.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
I really do appreciate it. That's it for the Inside Scoop. Tune in every Monday at 7 p.m. for live political call-in television. Channel here, right here, on Channel 10.